Geek Radio Daily.
For at long last.
My friends, finally! Fracking Friday. And after the day I had yesterday, just I'm not going to try to get the personal life in this real quick. Can we just say real quick off the top of the bat right here at the beginning? I condemn white supremacy. Boom, it's just that easy. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Geek Radio Daily. We're the fine folks from Geek Radio Daily, the aforementioned place.com. Welcoming you to the 2nd of October and the first weekend to start getting ready. You can practice your apple bobbing things. You can start working on ciders or whatnot. This is the prep time. We're going to be going a few weeks to make it happen. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man that knows how to sum up any person he ever meets. It's podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Have you ever seen Point Break?
Boom! All you ever got to know. Hi, everyone. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
You know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
Oh, well then. What happened, sir?
You know what? I am not proud of Proud Boys, and I condemn them as well.
Wait, you know who they are?
Not really. I curate my friends. In 1608 in the Netherlands, Hans Lippershey successfully completes the construction of the first optical telescope. Though there have been earlier telescopes, Lippershey will be the first to patent the device, though he'll beat out Jacob Metius by only a matter of weeks. Sounds like a real Edison move. He will ultimately be credited with the invention and popularization of the telescope.
1925, Scottish engineer John Logie Baird performs the first successful test of a television transmission system when he sends the first grayscale television images from one end of his attic laboratory to the other. The images are of a ventriloquist dummy he nicknamed Stooky Bill.
1935, the Hayden Planetarium in New York, the fourth planetarium in the U.S., opens.
God, I loved her on Heroes. 1942, the first self-sustaining nuclear chain reaction is demonstrated in Chicago, Illinois. I think it was at a Taco Bell?
1950, the first Peanuts comic strip written and illustrated by Charles M. Schulz is published in 9 newspapers across the country. Over the span of its 50 years, there will be approximately 4 funny ones.
1955, the ENIAC, first generational purpose electronic computer in history, is decommissioned after 9 years in service. It was capable of 5,000 operations per second, but took up 1,000 square feet of floor space. Your smartwatch, it's 10 times the machine it would.
1959, the television anthology series The Twilight Zone premieres on the CBS network with the episode, Where Is Everybody? In it, a man wanders an abandoned town struggling to remember who and where he is.
1996, President Bill Clinton signs amendments to the Electronic Freedom of Information Act requiring government agencies to make certain records available electronically online. Birthdays?
Camilla Bell, 34, from Lost World. 10,000 BC and push.
Lorraine Bracco is 66 from The Goodfellas, Sopranos, Resilient Isles.
Rex Reed, 82, film critic and Superman the movie.
1890, Groucho Marx, he played the most difficult role ever, himself. No longer with us, born this date in 1890, Groucho Marx, the most famous member of the Marx Brothers, you bet your life, and of course the inspiration for Hawkeye Pierce.
1897, Bud Abbott from Abbott and Costello, probably one of the greatest straight men in film history.
1909, Alex Raymond, American cartoonist and creator of Gordon.
1917, Charles Drake from A Night in Casablanca, It Came from Outer Space, and Commodore Stalker on Star Trek, the original series.
1928, George McFarlane, Spanky and Our Gang, and Little Rascals.
1929, Moses Gunn from Shaft.
Damn right.
Rollerball, Good Times, Amityville 2, The Possession, and Leonard Part 6. Guess they couldn't get him for 7.
Nope. 1948, Persis Kambata, Lieutenant Elia in Star Trek The Motion Picture, and she was in Megaforce, and I believe Mark and the gang, if you have Amazon Prime, they're doing a group watch of Star Trek The Motion Picture this Sunday night. So hey, what else you got to do? Right?
Oh, I got really excited. I was hoping it was going to be Megaforce. On CBS, we've got the greatest at-home videos. TGI Friday's new undercover boss in Blue Bloods.
Oh, TGI's is still open. ABC is showing 2020. I guess just a special 3 hours, so 60-60, if you will. But they're an hour each. 180? No, 240. There we go.
Math is fun. NBC has a rerun of American Ninja Warrior and Dateline Comedy Central.
Damn, it was 180. Fox, WWE, Friday Night SmackDown!
Brother, CW has a rerun of Masters, and New World's Funniest Animals, and New World's Funniest Animals. So I guess they were immediately beat out. I guess they held the title for like an hour.
30s. Freeform, The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's Halloween, bitches.
It's spooky month. AMC has Halloween Resurrection.
Katie Sackhoff is in that for a little bit. Animal Planet, New River Monsters, Deadliest Man Eaters.
Oh, here they come. Bravo, never before seen 518 new below deck Mediterranean.
Huh, wonder what that means. A marathon of Wilderness of Error on FX.
FXX at Simpsons Marathon, The Margian Chronicles, How Lisa Got Her Marge Back, and Orange is the New Yellow.
FXM has Don't Breathe.
IFC, Hide the Utes. It's My Cousin Vinny.
BBC America has The Conjuring, and Hide and Clap is well worth your time.
Sippy has Insidious, The Last Key.
Turner Classic Movies is showing the 1931 Dracula, Cat Ooh. People, and the original House on Haunted Hill. What?
That's a hell of a night.
Right?
I don't even know why we need to read anything else.
We don't. Honest. We should say Lifetime Movie Network's what we're watching, because Lisa is determined to prove her teen daughter Amber is innocent of murdering her older boyfriend. Victoria Pratt and Christina Koch star in Deadly Double Cross.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Kate is caught in the middle of a fight between Stefan and Gabby. A former football player has ambition to do something different, and he gets help from an unexpected source. Abe learns the lessons of courtship well. If all the drama could disappear, folks could enjoy their time on this island and simply say, hello, heaven, affection, Arcadia, or even salutation, Shangri-La. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
Don't you have a letter to read or something?
Hi, geeks. Sorry I didn't get the Xbox variety jokes, but from what I've heard about the lack of backwards compatibility, I'm happy I still only play a PC game. Oh, I'm happy I'm still only a PC gamer. Thanks to a DOSBox and Sellers of Old Games, I can still play my old favorites. Now, about freezing my trash. I used to have a flip-open lid for my kitchen trash. It wasn't attached, lost it, discovered my trash, only had a noticeable smell when the lid was in place. I hardly ever have food scraps in my trash. The lid was trapping just enough warmth and moisture to promote bacteria growth. Oh, Mr. Science. Because I compost all vegetable waste and recycle everything, it takes me close to a month to fill my little 7-gallon kitchen trash can. Man, I could knock that out in like 2 hours. Saving $12 a year in electricity, maybe to spend on Curiosity Stream instead. Stay safe. That is from Bill. Well, good job, Bill. You've got the trash handled like nobody's business.
By the way, DOSBox was my favorite of the spinoffs from Dust Boot.
I agree with you guys about LA Comic Con. I love when you guys talk about MTG. The Langoliers in real life would be terrifying. R.I.P. Farmville. And is that Taps playing? That's from Mark. I understand that hits you pretty hard, Mark, but I think you'll get by it, what with all your OnlyFans.
Maybe now he'll stop asking us to shuck his corn all the damn time.
If you would like to drop us a note, by all means, please do. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. You can tell us things or text us things. You just got to know how to use the number.
510-GRD-CREW.
You really just use them the way you use other numbers. It's nothing special. Like us. Or me.
Am I evil? Yes, I am. Diamondhead's classic heavy metal anthem became Metallica's greatest cover and one of the most iconic songs in heavy metal history. And now it comes to life in Am I Evil, the graphic novel. Hey everyone, this is Jack Mangan of the Metal Hall of Fame, MetalAsylum.net, the Deadpan Podcast, and Spherical Tomy. Learn more at the Am I Evil graphic novel Facebook page and at www.amievil-graphicnovel.com.
Hey everybody, it's Tony Todd. You're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Stay tuned or drop out. God bless you.
And keep on rocking, man. Keep on rocking.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Sure they do. And some even get made, and some actually come out this week. Like?
When students in their high school begin inexplicably exploding. Literally. As an unexpected romance blossoms between them, Mara and Dylan discovered that when tomorrow is no longer promised, they can finally start living for today. Charlie Plummer and Nikki Cortez star in Spontaneous.
By the year 2067, Earth has been ravaged by climate change and humanity is forced to live on artificial oxygen. An illness caused by synthetic O2 is killing the world's population, and the only hope for a cure comes in the form of a message from the future.
Send Ethan Wythe.
Ethan, an underground tunnel worker, is suddenly thrust into a terrifying new world of unknown danger as he must fight to save the human race. Cody Smith McPhee, Ryan Quantin star in 2067.
What? Oxygen is something we can't live without. Something else are plastics and silicates. Well, What would happen if you were in an isolated remote island community and are threatened by an attack from tentacled silicates, which will liquefy and digest bone and tissue? Well, I'd call in Carol Gray, Edward Judd, and Peter Cushing is what I'd do if I ever landed on the Island of Terror, only on Svengoolie.
Sadly, Americans are still not allowed to show up.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Hey, real quick, adding something to yesterday's episode, Jay and Silent Bob Mall Brawl, now available for free on Twitch Prime. Snoogans! Speaking of Snoogans, a Conan the Barbarian show is coming to Netflix. Eventually. This is truly the golden age of fantasy, with how many top drawer fantasy books are being adapted for streaming services? The Tales of Conan from Robert E. Howard are next. And maybe
finally,
more.
Finally, a chance to see Turlock Dub O'Brien take on the Pigeons from Hell.
Okay, if they did a shared universe of his stories. The project from Frederick Malmberg and Mark Wheeler's Pathfinder Media is the first in a deal between Netflix and Conan Properties International, owned by Malmberg's Cabinet Entertainment. The pact gives Netflix exclusive option to acquire rights to the Conan Literary Library and develop works across TV and film, both live action and animated, and maybe other stuff.
Which ancient hero was James Ellison when he fought in the Valley of the Worm? Tune in next week.
This, of course, plays into Netflix's current strategy of buying up known IPs. They've had success with The Witcher, hopes Conan's going to replicate that success. Amazon, of course, is doing, you know, Lord of the Rings and The Wheel of Time. And does Conan have the same type of appeal as those other fantasy properties?
Andy Richter certainly does.
However, there is still an avid fan base for Howard's works. Like The Witcher, I would expect Conan to be geared towards a more adult audience, which means you're not going to want to miss when Conan hears the lamentations of the women of your enemies as you see them driven to watch his new Netflix show, which originally was going to be a game show called Come On Down.
According to a new rumor, Lucasfilm has some Darth Bane Star Wars projects being developed. If you don't know who Darth Bane is, well, he's a pretty famous Sith Lord. Bane is specifically famed for being the Sith Lord who introduced the Rule of Two.
Damn anti-union Siths.
The rule is a master and an apprentice only. The rule was enforced in order to stop the Sith from doing the Jedi's job for them and wiping each other out. Bane saw what was happening and decided a different path was required for the Sith to take control once more.
Yet the more they did, the more star systems slipped through their fingers.
Ah, when Leia was English. Allegedly, Lucasfilm is developing several Darth Bane projects. The source for the story does not appear to know whether this is movies, Disney Plus, or even animated in some way. However, if this rumor is correct, it would indicate that Star Wars is about to move some distance into the past. In fact, Darth Bane was around before the Republic, during the original Sith Wars.
And just laughed as he munched on deep-fried Nuna legs during the Jedi Civil War.
So, other than tie-in novels, some of which are no longer canon, well, big C canon, this period is relatively unexplored. Ask fans what period of the Star Wars mythology they'd like to see more of, and most seem to prefer this distant past. Not even Yoda is old enough to know Darth Bane other than through his legend.
I bet Maz stole something from him once.
As mentioned, no solid word on if this is to be a movie, a series, live-action animated. All we know is there is a good chance he will get some official detailing of the old days of the Republic, which makes it very likely that we will see Bane in one of the earliest skirmishes in Star Wars history, where he was known as Menace to Mandalorian society.
Monopoly is, of course, notorious for causing family fights, but you know, not every version of that classic board game has to be so intense.
The Mario one is a little calmer, but the National Parks one has to be the most serene Monopoly ever.
Well, it was, because if you were more into happy little trees than you are collecting real estate, then you're going to enjoy the Bob Ross edition. Hasbro Pulse has recently released the iteration of Monopoly centered around the American painter, art instructor, and beloved television host. The challenge? To buy, sell, and trade the works of art from Ross's iconic TV series, The Joy of Painting.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having a tree as a friend.
Rather than financially destroy your opponents, this peaceful version of Monopoly simply invites players to take advantage of whatever happens.
Like my mom said, enjoy life's little happy accidents.
In keeping with the Bob Ross theme, the game includes 16 Happy Little Accident cards, 16 The Joy of Painting cards, 32 cabins, and 12 covered bridges.
And the best darn mountains in the industry.
You won't find a top hat, a thimble, pair of boots in this game. The piece in the set include a pallet, pine tree, easel, and more stuff. At first, the tree in it came out crooked, but they sent that to Washington.
Cobra Kai, the streaming spin-off serial of the Karate Kid cinematic universe that we all love, and if you haven't seen, fix that.
Watch it.
We'll get a video game adaptation on October 27th. Cobra Kai, the Karate Kid saga continues, is a side-scrolling beat-em-up for Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One.
The special edition comes in a body bag!
Mainstays Daniel LaRusso and Johnny Lawrence, voiced by original actors Ralph Macchio and William Zabka, will lead playable fighters from their respective dojos through Cobra Kai's multiple levels, as the newcomers, Robbie Miguel and Hawk, are also on the 8-character roster. Each fighter will have a skill tree to upgrade, and building out either the Miyagi-Do or Cobra Kai is part of the story progression.
And you know it's gotta be a bonsai skills tree!
Right? Cobra Kai will have more than 28 story missions, with boss fights included, such as a showdown with the psychopath John Kreese. Well, that seems inevitable anyway. Players will have to complete both dojos' story arcs to get to the game's true conclusion.
Spoilers, but doing that reveals the true villain are these three ninjas that hide out in that magic mountain.
Cobra Kai, which of course aired in 2018 and 2019 via YouTube Premium, was acquired by Netflix in June. Those two seasons will join Netflix's third season, which is slated sometime for 2021. Although you can watch the first two seasons on Netflix now. In a few weeks, you can finally make your stand in the LaRusso-Lawrence rivalry. Provided, of course, no one sweeps the leg.
Scientists say genes that some people have inherited from Neanderthal ancestors may increase their likelihood of suffering severe forms of COVID-19.
Well, so long as you don't believe in evolution, you should be safe.
I am quite worried for Ringo Starr. A study by European scientists examined a cluster of genes that have been linked to a higher risk of hospitalization and respiratory failure in patients who are infected with the new coronavirus.
And Neanderthals would have been highly susceptible. They couldn't do social distancing. They were always clubbing.
Researchers Hugo Zoborg and Svante Pabo determined the genes belong to a group or haplotype, which likely came from Neanderthals. The haplotype is found in about 16% of the population in Europe and half the population in South Asia, while in Africa and East Asia, it is non-existent.
We'd make jokes about them, but we stay away from lowbrow humor.
Zeborg and Pabo, who work at the Karolinska Institute in Sweden and the Max Planck Institutes for Evolutionary Anthropology in Germany, noted that the prevalence of the particular Neanderthal gene group is highest in people from Bangladesh, where 63% are estimated to carry a copy of the haplotype. The cited studies from the UK showing the people of Bangladeshi descent have about 2 times higher risk of dying from COVID-19 than the general population.
And they didn't have a jackwagon telling them they didn't really need to wear masks.
All of this resides in people's genes, so there isn't a ton that you can do to help. Though science says if you think you were exposed, you should probably skip the paleo diet. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, 96.3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Whew. There's something about writing that last story on a Friday, man. It's a liberating feeling. It's good times.
I like it.
Hey, everybody, we're playing some Jackbox tonight, so come find us. You might notice maybe possibly that my personal page is a bit locked down now. The less said about that, the better. But you can die, you jackass, and save them. And we'll get back together sometime when we do. Just look for us on the regular page. You know all that stuff. And drop notes at Facebook. GeekRadioDaily.com. No, that doesn't make sense. It's email. What is it? I don't even know. It's podcast at GeekRadioDaily.com. That's what it is, right? At GeekRadioDaily.com? I think that... Come here, Belle. I think that's what it is. Or just use the magic numbers.
510-GRD.
We'll see you. It'll make sense later.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but the same.
Ah, this meeting brings back memories. Childhood days, lemonade, romance. My life was wrapped around a circus. Her name was Lydia. I met her at the World's Fair in 1900, marked down from 1940. Ah, Lydia. She was the most glorious creature under the sun. Thais, Dubarry, Gabo, rolled into one. Oh.
Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia the tattooed lady. She has eyes that folks adore so, and a torso even more so. Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh Lydia, the queen of tattoo. On her back is the Battle of Waterloo. Beside it, the wreck of the Hesperus too. And proudly above waves the red, white, and blue. You can learn a lot from Lydia.